It's 20 to 11 as we take a look at the agony of throwing out your life, and it's official. Here's the man the ladies, well, used to love to love, Mr. Roland Rocchicelli. Morning, Roland.
Morning to you, morning. Do you know, we'll get on to that in a second. Every week when we do this, I think maybe this morning I'll know the song. I've never heard one of those songs that you play, ever.
How about next week I commit to playing some Johnny Farnham for you?
What about, have you got any Paddy Page or...
Oh, you're not happy with Johnny Farnham, Roland. You're unbelievable. Oh,
yes, I know, John. But I'd rather... Talking about... So I, when he sang, what was that, I Am the Voice?
Yeah.
No, what was that?
You're the Voice, it was called, yeah.
See, I really don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Isn't that awful?
How can you be so connected in the theatre space but not in the music space?
Well, because I really trained, and we'll come to this in a minute, but I really trained as a classical pianist, so I played real music,
Real music, come on.
And I find popular music, it grates. I hear all the discordance and I go, and get on the note, you know.
What, so even like classic Beatles and stuff like that you don't enjoy?
Couldn't bear it. I couldn't hear it. She loves you, yeah.
What? Doesn't sound anything like that.
No, that's not music, it's just noise.
This is a conversation for a whole other time, Roland Rocchicelli. You're stirring me up beautifully this morning.
No, I'm not. Look, I know people will be saying, you silly old goat, and my career should be one hundredth as successful as the Beatles. I understand that, and I recognise their talent and how brilliantly they envelop the world and they took everybody on this wonderful journey. It just wasn't me, that's all.
Yeah, fair enough. We all have different tastes, don't we?
Yeah. But I what did you say, red fingernails and black wine?
Oh, I think it was the other way around, actually.
Who were they?
I'm Eskimo Joe. I don't know. It just says it on the screen in front of me. I just pretend like I know what I'm talking about here, Roland. You know that.
Yes, go on. You were saying about throwing your life.
Yeah, well, you told me the other day about the agony you were going through at the moment by throwing your life away. And when we use that term, we mean you're cleaning up. You're getting rid of Roland Rocchicelli memorabilia. Why?
Look, I actually... A friend of mine came to stay and I went away and he's a project manager. He's now in Brisbane working. But he was also a builder. So he put bookcases in for me and built me this huge, fabulous built-in desk. Mm. It was all done when I came back, and he'd unpacked all my books that were in the garage.
Wow.
Moved them all into the house. They were all shelved when I got home, and everything was done. It was just wonderful. It was the most marvellous gift. But he also, there were these boxes and boxes of sheet music. I cannot tell you how many boxes of sheet music I have. And also all my other nonsense, you know, that you've collected over the years. And there's about... there's 50 years of it, or more than that. I was 18, it's 56 years that I've been, you know, in this business.
The biz,
and
yep.
So I looked at all this and I thought, do I need all these press cuttings and photographs? The photographs I didn't throw out, I kept those,
good,
obviously. But all the, and you know, nonsense stuff that you had, and I went through it all, and it was really quite difficult to do, because there was my life in a tin trunk, and I thought, is that really what it amounts to? Is that what I've done for 56 years? There it is, in a tin trunk.
Some people would like to see you in a tin trunk.
But,
wouldn't they?
Oh, it's a pretty sight, I can tell you.
So how did you make that call, what to keep, what to throw out?
I just went through and got rid of it. I mean, I was photographed with people whom I've never met. I don't even know them. And I thought, what? In press cards, I thought, what? Why do I need this? And, you know, and columns that I've written, hundreds and hundreds of columns that I've written. And I think, this load of horse manure, you know, and that's spelt with a silent S, if you know what I mean. And I thought, this has to go. So I've done it. And it was, putting it into garbage bags and getting rid of it was cathartic, but sort of sad. But what I did find was a whole lot of photographs, but I remember, in 1972 or 73, I was obviously in Melbourne. I was working at the Melbourne Theatre Company. And Bruno Bonini was a very famous fashion photographer. He and his wife, Hazel, became friends of mine. And he was one of the world's great photographers. And I'm not exaggerating. He took the most brilliant images. I mean, I would look at take a photograph of a sack of potatoes and be a sack of potatoes. Bruno took a photograph of a sack of potatoes and it was something quite magical. I mean,
oh, you can just tell you've sent this photo through, Roland. I used the gag before, you know, you're the man the ladies love to love with this photo. I think everyone's fallen in love with Roland Rocicelli.
It is the most beautiful, if it were any, of anybody, I would say. That's a beautiful image. I mean, when you see the face of that young man. And I sat there staring at him. I thought...
Did his eyes follow you?
Oh, yes.
Like one of those creepy paintings?
And what about those eyes? I've got my mother's eyes. She had those eyes as well. They never missed a trick. But I sat there staring at him and I thought, I don't really know that young man. And I sent it to Sandra Harris, who used to be a presentation announcer at the ABC in Perth in the days when they had presentation announcers. For those who remember, in Melbourne, the equivalent was Corinne Kirby. She did the job that Sandra did in Perth.
Was that like introducing upcoming shows and stuff? Is that what's happening there?
That's exactly what they did. And they were very glamorous and they were the face of the ABC in each of their own states. And Sandra went to London and had this fantastic career. It was a newsreader on the BBC and at ITV and at Thames Television and interviewed everybody and was terribly glamorous and very funny and wonderful. And she's now back in Perth. And I sent her to Sandra and I said... And she knew me back in those days. She knew me before that. She knew me in Perth when I was a cadet announcer. She sent me an email back and said, oh, aren't we wonderful? We should be so grateful we were born then, you know. We were so, everything, you know, the world was beautiful, everything, and we were beautiful. And, of course, we were. I mean, it was, we
Is that just youth, though, Roland?
Hey?
Is that just youth?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it was... Remembering that, you know, the war ended in 1945, and for the sort of 20 years after that, you know, the world was on the march. Certainly Australia was on the march. And we who were the baby boomers of that were the recipients of great abundance. Everything was for us, you know, the world was ours. And so there was this marvellous time that we had, and there was great excitement. And what I do remember when I look at that young man in that image that Bruno Bonini took, captured, is how exciting it was in Melbourne, in working, and how good... You know, you got your pay packet and you went straight to Trevor West or to the clothes horse and you spent all your money on clothes and you went hungry for the rest of the week.
Nothing's changed for you. You're still very well dressed, even if it is from Aldi these days.
That's right. Well, not all from Aldi. There's the odd Gant in there and the odd sort of, you know, I must confess, I haven't really given up. I do buy and, you know, I get stuff from German Street in London still. I think that's important, but it was then, and that's what that young lad was. That young man is about. But it's just the thing of, and I've got 2,000 pieces of somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 pieces of sheet music, and I have to get rid of it because they're songs that people will never sing again. Nobody wants it, and I have to dispose of it.
You sure there's no value associated with them? Wouldn't someone pay good money for them?
Look. It's interesting. I'm doing a workshop with Lisa McCune, a masterclass here in Ballarat.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
With Lisa McCune and David Hobson on the 4th of July and through Paula Nicholson and the Ballarat Foundation. And I'm going to talk, the part that I'm doing is telling them how to prepare for an audition. I mean, you know, the number of times somebody's come to an audition and they sing and they say, oh, she's got a good voice. I say, yeah, did you look at her feet? She's pigeon-toed. You can't possibly employ her. Or, you know, she had dirty hair. Why do you employ somebody who's got dirty hair? You know, all of those things that really are important. But also, there was a time when I thought if one more person sings, I don't know how to love him at an audition, or climb every mountain, a la...
You're going to punch them in the nose if you hear it again.
I shall go mad. Mm. I'm going to take... I shall go out and I shall shoot myself because I can't listen to it anymore. So I have all this sheep music, some wonderful songs there that nobody ever sings anymore, and they're the sort of songs that young students should be learning to do at an audition because they are well-written pieces of music and they're not heard all the time. And when you hear a new song at an audition, you go, oh, I've not heard this one before, and you sit up and listen.
Yeah, it captures one's attention.
Of course it does. If they're singing, you know, and one stage it was the House of the Rising Sun. Everybody sang that bloody song. And so that's I'll be talking about that. But, you know...
Why don't you hold a garage sale, Roland?
Hey?
Why don't you hold a garage sale, put it all out and just see what people will pay for it, if anything? If not, then trash it.
I haven't thrown that out. My music I cannot throw out.
Yeah.
Although I did come across a grade 6 examination book there, you know, from when I was 14 or 15 and I've still lugged it around Australia. And I looked at that and I thought, can I really throw this out? Because, of course, it had all the notations from my music teacher saying, you know, note big rings around a particular note and you know, NB the you know, the crescendo or the diminuendo, whatever it was that was there that, you know, you hadn't particularly noticed. And it was almost like feeling her spirit there against me.
Yeah, well, don't throw that sort of stuff out. So would you recommend it, Roland? Should people with a heap of stuff at home listening to you this morning make a start on cleaning out their stuff from their life and just keeping some special bits?
We do accumulate... Look, a lot of the stuff that I had there was rubbish. I've kept the really good pieces that I wrote, and I kept the really good interviews that have been done with me, you know, full pages with big photographs. I've kept all of that.
Mm.
But I promise you, there was somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 columns and rubbish, and I thought, this nobody wants to read this again, and why would they be interested? I've kept the big stuff. But, you know, come the end of it all, nobody's going to... That'll all just go to the tip. Nobody will want it. I don't have any family. So, you know, when they carry me out of here, you know, to the crematorium, I don't mean to sound macabre, but it's the reality.
Yeah. There's no exhibition coming up at the Art Gallery of Ballarat for you, then? The Roland Rocicelli on display. No? It's got a ring to it.
Oh, no, look, I wouldn't be so big-headed to imagine that people would even be slightly interested.
Well, I think you might be surprised, Roland. I know you're not a big ego, but the names you drop when you and I talk, you've met so many fascinating people, and I believe that in turn makes you and your life incredibly interesting.
Well, I worked with them, you know, which with most of them that whenever they ask, and I think I've spoken to every Provost Club and whatever club here in Ballarat, and whenever they ask me, I always say yes. I don't particularly want to do them, not because I think, you know, they I'm above it. It's just that I'm sick of talking.
Yeah, you've probably done one or two,
you know,
thousand too many.
Struggling for words there to try and, because I don't want to sound like a big head or what, but I'm not a big head. But, you know, you go, and I do know, and I do it because when I tell these stories and I tell them all the funny stories and the things that happen, I know that for the 45 minutes that I'm talking, they're absolutely carried away with the sort of, what is the perceived glamour of the life that might or might not have been, you know. And they do want to hear about Audrey Hepburn.
Of course they do.
My audience do.
That's as close as they'll get to sort of, you know, being part of showbiz with great names like that is listening to you.
Yep, and I don't gossip, but I do tell them funny stories or things that happened or, you know. Occasionally I will say, well, you know, wasn't my favourite person, that one, and the feeling was mutual. let's not pretend. They didn't care for me, and I didn't much care for them. And I remember a friend of mine once who was doing an interview. He had to say to somebody, look, this is going to be 10 minutes. Why don't you pretend for 10 minutes you like me, and I'll pretend I like you for 10 minutes, and we'll get this interview out of the way, and then we'll go out separate ways.
We've been found out. That's exactly what we do. Roland Rocicelli, I'll catch you next week, and we will share that photo of you, 26 years of age, on our Facebook page. Good on you, Roland. Have a great week. Start your